Now we enter into the time of our worship that fits with talk, and this is an invitation that at home in your own devotional time, as you read the Word, you can also talk about it and talk about how God's Word fits into your life, how God speaks to you. So grace and peace to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. So the gospel that I just read, begins with Jesus' words that we've been learning together in worship throughout this Easter season, and that we learned together with the kids at Kids in Christ Time. In those words, Jesus gives us these words of comfort, words of assurance. Often they're words that most often we hear this gospel passage read at a funeral, because it's a time that we most need to hear perhaps those words of comfort, words that of promise that Jesus says, I go before you, I prepare a place for you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. But the reality is, Jesus knows that we're going to have some hang-ups with this. The reality is, our hearts will be troubled. We will have a difficult time believing in God, and I think partly, often, because sometimes it feels like God is so far from us, leaving us to hope in what we do not see, as we heard in that first reading from Romans. It's difficult to believe in what we can't see. But in Jesus, we have this promise that God promises to draw near to us. God refuses to be a God that is far off, a God that seems separated from our everyday experience. In Jesus, God comes to live our lives, to live in our same experience, to meet us right where we are. Jesus is God who put on flesh both to live as a human with all of our joys and all of our sorrows, and to show us the heart of God. In the gospel, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. If you know me, you will know my Father also. Jesus comes to show us who our God is. And so one way we have that Jesus shows us that we focus on today is this prayer, is that Jesus gives us a way of praying to see the way to God, to stay connected to God. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the Our Father. Martin Luther called the Lord's Prayer our persistent cry for help. But Jesus doesn't want this prayer to be limited to something that we say in worship or just in times of need. We had great examples up here at Kids in Christ of all of these times that we can pray. Jesus doesn't want our prayers to be limited just to a few times, and he also doesn't want our prayer to be limited to the words themselves. And frankly, if he does, we might have a problem. Because if you look at the two places where Jesus gives the words of the Lord's Prayer in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 11, you will be perhaps surprised, if you don't know this already, that the versions of the Lord's Prayer in both of those Gospels are vastly different than what we say. And they're vastly different from each other. So there's the matter of interpretation. Many of you know at least two different versions of the Lord's Prayer, and some of you are troubled by it. I know that. I've heard that. You know, where we say, Our Father who art in heaven, or Our Father in heaven, where we pray for our sins or versus our trespasses. But there are actually several other English interpretations, one of them using debts and debtors instead of sins and trespasses. Then there are contemporary translations, and there are traditional translations, and there are older traditional translations, and we can go on and on and on. There are so many different interpretations and translations. In fact, when Pastor Sonia and I were studying at seminary, we went to a seminary that was not a Lutheran seminary, and there were people from many, many different backgrounds, and they would all come with the way that they were used to praying the Lord's Prayer. And you know what? This is an amazing thing. It was a beautiful thing. In worship, we all prayed the Lord's Prayer as we knew and as our heart knew the prayer, but we would all end together with Amen. So be it. The point I want to make is we don't have to be too hung up on the wording itself. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer to the disciples only after he tells them a number of ways not to pray. He says, don't pray like hypocrites with empty phrases. Don't pray like the Gentiles just piling up words on top of each other. He's saying, here's a way to pray, but I want you to know what you're praying. I want you to know how to pray, because this is a way that we can connect to God. And maybe even less about a way of us talking to God, it's a way of us listening to God, a way of us understanding how God works in the world. So we don't want our prayer to be a bunch of meaningless words that we just kind of go through without realizing what we're saying. Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer as a helpful model for our prayer lives. So maybe it's less important that we get ourselves worked up about which words that we use for prayer than it is to understand how Jesus' prayer is an example or a pattern or a model that Jesus gives us for how to pray. He's not only giving us words for a prayer that we can always go to when we don't know how or don't know what to pray. The Lord's Prayer is certainly that. It's a gift for us. But he's also giving us sort of ingredients or a model for prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, there are actually 7 different petitions or requests or ways that we can come to God in prayer and listen for God in our world, in our lives. So I want to take a look at at those ingredients, if you will. I found it helpful to hear, along with that, Martin Luther's explanation of each of the petitions as he wrote them in the Small Catechism, and especially during this season, we've been focusing on those elements of the Small Catechism. So I'm going to share with you those readings, what he wrote to explain those petitions in the Small Catechism. First, we begin with the introduction of the prayer, Our Father in Heaven. This isn't actually one of the petitions, it's an introduction. Like you might write a salutation to a letter or in an email. Dear so-and-so, we're saying Our Father in Heaven. And Luther says, with these words, God wants to attract us so that we believe He is truly our Father and we are truly His children, in order that we may ask Him boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving parent. Now, unfortunately, everyone does not have strong, loving relationships with their fathers or maybe with any parent at all. But this shouldn't discourage us from using this introduction for the prayer, Our Father, as addressing God as our Father or our holy parent, our loving parent, because God wants to be both a model for parents and the loving parent that some may not have. So we pray, Our Father, and we continue, Hallowed be your name. This gets to our big word of today's worship theme, Hallowed. Now, it may not be that big of a word for everyone here, but it is a word perhaps that, you know, we pray with the Lord's Prayer, we hear it in worship, but I don't know if there are any other times outside of that we use this word, Hallowed. I don't know. You? We don't use it outside of church, but it means holy. Holy is your name, O God. It means set apart, separated from the ways of the world, completely other, which could lead us to the problem of thinking that God is far off, that God doesn't relate to us. But Luther's explanation helps us understand that God wants to draw us into that holiness with Him. He writes, it is true that God's name itself is holy, but we ask in this prayer that it may also become holy in and among us. So we pray for God to make us holy people, saints, working in his will and doing his will. Which then leads us to the next two petitions. The second petition is, "Your kingdom come." And Luther writes, in fact, God's kingdom comes on its own without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it would also come to us. And here, friends, is a phrase that I want you to pay attention to, because you're going to hear it several times. Luther gets used to saying something like this, that in fact, God does this. In this case, God's kingdom comes without our prayer. God does this without our prayer, but we ask it so that it may happen to us. Perhaps one of the most important things about prayer is understanding how God is working and then asking God to let us be a part of that work. This is one of the greatest models of this prayer. And then we pray the next petition, which is very much related to this one. "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." To which Luther teaches, in fact, God's good and gracious will comes about without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come about in and among us. God's kingdom and God's will comes whenever people are strengthened by God's word and kept in faith. We pray for God's plan in our lives and in the world. And this is so important, because so often I know it's easy to fall into praying for our own plan, for our own will, for our own understanding. And so Jesus gives us this model to pray, "God, whatever your will is, but help me to be a part of it." And so we continue through the prayer. We pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And Luther teaches, in fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer. There it is again. Even to all evil people. Perhaps one of the most difficult things for us to imagine, right? Even those people that we think don't deserve it, God gives daily bread. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving. Sometimes recognizing our daily bread can be difficult, because honestly, some of us, and I include myself in this group, some of us might be stuffed so full with bread that it prevents others from having theirs. And also, we should recognize daily bread not just as bread, not just as food, but as every good gift that God gives us. All the gifts of creation, clothing, homes, family, those who lead us, good weather, and so on. And so we pray in this prayer both that we would recognize what God gives us, and that, again, we could be part of God's will to provide for those who do not have enough. So we continue to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Luther teaches, we ask in this prayer that our Heavenly Father would not regard our sins or deny these petitions on their account. For we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. Instead, we ask that God would give us all things by grace. For we sin daily and indeed earn only punishment. So on the other hand, we too truly want to forgive heartily and do good gladly to those who sin against us. And here is perhaps one of the greatest reasons for us to continue to come and hear God's word here in our worship. To realize, when we realize that, and when we truly hear the good news for us and for our own hearts, that we have been forgiven, it is so much easier to turn to our neighbors, to turn to those who perhaps have sinned against us who have hurt us, and to forgive them. And so we pray, "Save us from the time of trial." To which Luther teaches, it is true that God tempts no one. See, here Luther is responding to that version of the prayer, the interpretation of the prayer that some of you are familiar with. "Lead us not into temptation." So Luther writes, it is true that God tempts no one, but we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins, and that although we may be attacked by them, we may finally prevail and gain the victory. We pray that God would help us whenever doubts or temptation attack us. And we pray confidently because of what Jesus has already done, that we can be confident that Jesus has done this and gives us grace and will lead us out of whatever temptation, whatever it is that attacks us. And we continue to pray, deliver us from evil. To which Luther teaches, we ask in this prayer, as in a summary, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all kinds of evil, affecting body or soul, property or reputation, and at last, when our final hour comes, may grant us a blessed end and take us by grace from this valley of tears to himself in heaven. Deliver us from evil. We pray that God protect us both in this life and in the next. And so as we've offered all of these petitions, praying to God, then finally we close our prayer. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Now some of you may know that not everyone prays this ending. Sometimes when you're with other people of faith from other backgrounds, some end the prayer with the last petition, and deliver us from evil, amen. And if you're used to going on, you're going on, and everybody else is looking like, what are we supposed to do? That's perfectly fine, of course. The reason for doing this is that these words are actually not in the scripture connected to this prayer itself, where Jesus teaches the prayer. But those of us who do pray these words, this is called a doxology. It means there's two words in that, doxa, logos, just basically means good words, words of blessing, words of praise. So those who do that follow this ancient tradition that has connected these words of blessing to the Lord's Prayer, giving glory to God for all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And so Luther teaches that when we say these words, he says that I should be certain that such petitions are acceptable to and heard by our Father in heaven. For God himself commanded us to pray like this and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it is going to come about just like this. So whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer, know that it is Jesus' gift to you to be able to connect with God, to understand how God is present to you and to the world. Know that you can pray the Lord's Prayer with those words just as they are, whichever words that you know, or whichever words you find to pray. But also, know that you don't always have to pray the entire thing. One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever heard about the Lord's Prayer comes from Luther, when Luther said, you know what, there are many times where I get hung up on one of those petitions, and when I do, I stick with it. Says, often enough it happens that I so lose myself in the rich thoughts of one of these parts, one of these petitions, that I let all the other six go. And when such rich, good thoughts come to you, he writes, you should let the other prayers go and give place to these thoughts. Listen to them in silence, and on no account suppress them, for here the Holy Spirit is preaching to us. And a single word of the Spirit's preaching is worth more than 1,000 of our own words. I have often learned more in one petition than I could have obtained from much reading and pondering. So friends, use this prayer this beautiful prayer is a model for your own. And if you pray and you get stuck on trying to understand God's will for your life or for the world, so be it. Pray that prayer, God's will be done, for the rest of your day or weeks or whatever it may be. If you get focused on forgiving our sins as we forgive others, pray that for the rest of the day or for weeks or whatever it may be. But use this as a model for our prayer. Today's gospel ends with Jesus saying, "If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Now, some of you may hear this and think, "Oh, thank God, yes, amen. Anything we ask in prayer, Jesus says, I will do it." And many actually will teach this and preach this. That no matter what you ask, and then if it doesn't happen, then people will say, "Well, you're just not praying hard enough. You're not believing enough." But there is one little phrase in there. Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name." And that doesn't mean, "In Jesus' name, I hope that I will win the lottery." That would be a miracle because I don't even buy lottery tickets. But that when we pray in Jesus' name, it is also praying the way that Jesus taught us, to use the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. And you notice in the Lord's Prayer, it is God's will. It is God's kingdom, not our will or what we want. So ask in Jesus' name. Use this prayer as a petition. For Jesus, with this prayer, gives us a gift to connect with God, to connect with God's will for us and for the world, so that truly we don't have a reason to be afraid. For he hears all of our prayers, all of our persistent cries in Jesus' name, and he wants the best of us for us. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. Amen. Thanks be to God.